The topic today is a big topic for us. It is a topic that summarizes all the other things that we have done up to this particular point in time. In the writing of Hebrews chapter 1, as he closes out the Hebrews chapter 1, he mentions how that it is important to God to realize who we are and what we are in God's service, and how that God has decided that we will have the last enemy that shall be destroyed, his death, and how that the Lord is the word and the way of God's heavenly Father's great plan. Then he starts out in Hebrews 2, our topic today. Therefore, we ought to give the earnest heeding to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Jesus was that one who came and taught his full message. As Jesus came and taught his full message, he's saying to us in Hebrews 2 at verse 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. That word slip is used in that passage of the King James Version. In more recent translations, it's more accurately said, drift away. We should not read people who drift away from God's teaching and God's will. In your life and in mine, we find an opportunity to be people who serve the cause of God. As we serve the cause of God in our lives, we find that those things that we have formerly believed and been taught, and we have searched the Scripture and seen for ourselves, are things that we do not need to allow to drift away from us. What is it that we teach that should be able to drift away? For some people who set out to have revelations from God and a special angel to speak to them and so forth and so on, they wrote in their particular documents that Jesus was born at Jerusalem. And that being born at Jerusalem, he carried out the mission and the work that the Heavenly Father wanted. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 speaks to Bethlehem of Ephratah. Though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth who hath been from old, even from everlasting. The Savior was born and came from Bethlehem. I've heard it explained to me that Bethlehem is just 12 miles removed to the southeast from Jerusalem, and that that is the area in which it was found. But the prophet who revealed that and wrote it in his document said that it was direct revelation from that angel to him that he then recorded. And he wrote it down as Jerusalem. Was that prophet speaking for God? Is that God's angel who talked to him? Or rather, is it the fact that we want to hold to God's word itself? There in Micah 5 and verse 2, we undeniably have the birth of Jesus being Bethlehem of Ephratah. Though its description is given, it could not involve Jerusalem. Though thou be least among the thousands of Judah, there were thousands of villages and hamlets and little towns that were there. Bethlehem was one of them. But Jerusalem, why, everyone knows that Jerusalem was a big city, a big metropolitan. It was big time and still is big time. And you name Jerusalem to anybody. It's a small place called Bethlehem in which the Savior came. Should we let that slip? Give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Salvation for you and me is offered by Jesus. He said to Zacchaeus in Luke 19 and verse 10, I am come, the Son of Man, to seek and to save that which was lost. Salvation comes from Jesus himself. He is the Savior. Is there another Savior? Well, as we read the words of Peter in regards to this matter in Acts chapter 5, We read how that Jesus himself is the way of life and hope for us, and that there's salvation in none other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If there's another name than Jesus by which salvation comes, we would be people who would slip away from the teaching of God's Word. But if we carry on with the teaching of God's Word, we find that as Jesus proclaimed in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. It is the case that we teach the truth. If we follow God's will, let us not drift away from it. In teaching that there is salvation in some other name than the name of Jesus himself. As the people worship God in the New Testament of the Bible, they found themselves enjoying what the historians say was a love feast. And as they gathered together, since there were certain food elements that were part of the Lord's Supper, they just mixed together all of their foods at one time. They rushed into those services, they rushed to the meal, they neglected others to come in and be a part of that. They were doing a lot of things they called the Lord's Supper, but it was not the Lord's Supper. They had slipped away from the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians 11, commencing at verse 20, it is cited that Paul would mention about how Jesus, the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And he took this cup, and he said, this is my body, this is my blood. This do ye in remembrance of me till I come again. He says to them in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 20, you say that you're eating the Lord's Supper, but it is not the Lord's Supper. Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Those people did not need to be praised and encouraged to continue honoring that type of feast together and neglecting their brethren as well. They need to remember the body and the blood of Christ and honor the Lord's Supper as he had delivered it in the night in which he was betrayed. When you and I today partake of the Lord's Supper and remember the body and the blood of Christ, we're doing it correctly. If we find ourselves mentally drifting from the body and the blood, we find ourselves not thinking about what we're doing in that regard, do we become guilty of eating and drinking condemnation to our souls, just like those brethren there in Corinth did in 1 Corinthians 11, when they ate the bread and drank the fruit of the vine to the condemnation of their own souls? If we give the more earnest heed to the things that we've heard, we won't let them slip. We won't let them drift away from us. We'll worship the Lord in the Lord's Supper in the way that he is so signified and a remembrance until he comes again. You know, we talk about the Lord coming again. It's the reassurance of Jesus. In John chapter 14, when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he had earlier said, I go. Let not your hearts be troubled. I go to the Father. And notice that as he went to the Father, he was going to come again and receive us unto himself. The Apostle Paul addressed thoughts regarding the resurrection and the coming of Jesus in 2 Thessalonians 1 when he talked about the punishment for those who obey not the gospel. And who find themselves resisting the teaching of the gospel, and how that he will come again in flaming fire to the Father. And notice that as he went to the Father, he was going to come again and receive us unto himself. The Apostle Paul addressed thoughts regarding the resurrection and the coming of Jesus in 2 Thessalonians 1 when he talked about the punishment for those who obey not the gospel. And who find themselves resisting the teaching of the gospel, and how that he will come again in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them who know not God and obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we find ourselves not teaching others to obey the gospel and slip away from what the scripture says regarding that subject? If we just let it go, that there is as though it were no gospel message to obey, no teaching to be given, aren't we, for the sake of others, just letting it drift away? Should we do that for others or for ourselves? The scripture affirms to you and me that as Jesus went away, he will so come again in like manner. As you have seen him go, he told the disciples in Acts 1. For sure, for you and me, he is assured to come back again. And as he comes, that will be a great resurrection day. Can we slip away from the fact that the scripture affirms that he is coming again? And that we should be prepared for that day as we obey the gospel and become faithful people to him. As I close today, I bring this particular attention to you and to all of our friends who will be listening to this message by way of the internet system later today. The message that we have is a message of hope, because it's a message that Jesus gave to you and me and taught, and how that Paul picked up on what he taught and told us the following. In 2 Corinthians, the latter part of chapter 4 and on into chapter 5, reference is made to this thing called our physical body. He says, if the earthly house of this tabernacle, this physical body, be dissolved, we have a building of God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. In this, talking about this house we live in now, this body, we do earnestly groan, desiring to be clothed upon with our building, which is from God. The truth of the matter is that as we physically live, we get older and we get less able. More pains come our way. It is the case that our lives are filled with a time of decline that takes place. It compels us to remember that, I'm in a position where I may soon enter into the presence of the Almighty. I'm soon going to go over into that land. When the years that I've lived are more behind me than I have ahead of me, do I not in wisdom need to prepare for that time when I'll be changed from this earthly house of this tabernacle into a building that's been made by God himself? Should I slip away from that and leave others to believe the idea of reincarnation, that we will come back again and again and again on this earth? That we'll do the things that we do once again on this earth? Or should I hold to God's word that I've heard? Hebrews 9:27. As it is appointed a man once to die, and after this the judgment, so I will find myself once teaching that we die. Not multiple times over and over again, but once as we find ourselves doing that. Last week's topic was the idea of the faith and the concept of Jude 1 and verse 3. When I gave all diligence writing you the common salvation, it was needful that I write unto you and exhort you that we should earnestly contend for the faith which was how many times given unto the saints? Once given to the saints. That's the idea of this death, how that it will occur once. Some people believe that that message is repeated over and over, added to over and over, and a new message has come. But Jude said that one message was the message that was delivered, and that's the one we're to contend for today. As we contend for that faith, we're reminded that we're going to be in a new body someday, and that in fact this will change for us in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trump, the dead in Christ shall rise. It is the case that you and I find ourselves being people who serve the cause of God in a righteous way when we don't let things slip or drift away that we have heard and read for ourselves and heard with our heart from the Bible itself.